thank you for inviting us to come. I know that Ben said he had a great time last week, and I've had some really good feedback via him of how it went down, so hopefully you'll enjoy this week as well. We really are excited to be exploring our Names of God series with you as well. It was a few months ago we did it at Springs, but it was really, really a wonderful series, and we all learned a lot, because there are lots and lots of really famous names of God, and his names tell us lots about his character. So I want to do a bit of a pop quiz first of all. Who remembers what Ben spoke on? Which Jehovah did he teach you about? Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Very good. Okay, any more that you know of that I think you're going to come up in this series? You can't have Jehovah Ra. We've already told you that one. That's cheating. Any others? Jehovahs, famous Jehovahs. Come on, rack your brains. Jireh. Everyone loves the Jireh. I used to think he was called Jehovah Jireh when I was a kid. Which is not quite the same. Not quite the same sentiment when you unpick that one. So it's Jehovah Jireh. Any others? Jehovah Nissi. I didn't know that one. Who said Nissi? Oh, top marks. I had no idea. That's the Lord is my banner. Did I learn it right? Yeah, yes. I learned something from this series too. Any others? Any other Jehovahs you know of? Oh, I don't know that one. It could well be. Shalom? Yeah? The Lord my peace? Hopefully our friend Amelia will come down and share that one with you in a few months' time. There's loads and loads, and you'll probably know more than I do, because I'm at Himley Road and you guys know your Bibles, I'm told. But top marks for those of you that knew a few of them. But you might ask the point, what's the point, though, of doing this? These are all weird Hebrew names. None of us really know exactly what they mean. We don't speak that language anymore. Why do we? What's in a name? Now, Shakespeare, that's right. We're going to educate you this morning. Shakespeare, who, incidentally, I'm related to. That's another story. It's true. It's absolutely true. Tell me, I couldn't talk to me afterwards. I'll tell you the story. But Shakespeare argued in Romeo and Juliet that a name was meaningless. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's what that line in that really famous line in Romeo and Juliet means. But the reality is very different. And I don't want to, I'm sorry to correct Shakespeare, given that we are blood. But he's wrong. Our names do carry meaning. They do mean something. The nicknames that we had as kids were often given to us because they reflected something about our character or our behavior, or when you got to school, your appearance generally. And there was meaning in the name. My own nicknames, they varied depending on who gave them to me, I'll be honest. I had several. I would like to come around and ask you what your nicknames were, but I won't do that to you, don't worry. My dad once introduced me to his friends as, this is my daughter Lindsay, she's the clever one. This is my daughter Katie, she's the beautiful one. I think he meant well, but it was basically a double insult to us both. This is Lindsay, she's really clever, but poor ugly. This is Katie, she's gorgeous, but thick. Neither are true. My sister's not thick, and I'm not that ugly. Anyway, another classic from my loving father. Don't parents make you just ruin you. I love my dad, but oh my gosh, what a baby boomer parent he was. He gave me the nickname Tonk. Tonk, like Tonky Pig. Because again, not only was I clever and a bit ugly, but also a little bit overweight as a child. So yeah, Slimming World have benefited ever since from the insecurity that planted very young. At school, I tried very hard to be nothing like my sister. She was a bit notorious at school, my sister. So I earned myself the name Mega Swat at school because I used to try hard and work hard, and I'm proud of that one. But names, they mean something, okay? The names we're given, they reflect something about our character. And it's just like that with God, except God's not a mega swat or fat, thankfully. But God has got multiple names too. And I guess there are like nicknames in that people throughout the Bible articulated the parts of his character that they understood by naming them. God is my peace, Jehovah Shalom. And his various names, they help to describe these kind of many facets of his character and his nature. And last week, you guys learned that Moses encountered Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. And that's where that name comes from. Today, as Karen has shared, we're going to focus on another really famous name of God called Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. When I taught this to my children, my youngest Daniel now calls God Jehovah Ra. But it's not that, it's Jehovah Ra. But if that helps you remember it, that's fine by me. We hear about Jehovah Ra in one of the most famous scriptures in the whole Bible, and that's Psalm 23. You'll all know it, I'm sure. A guy called David, who himself was a shepherd at one time, writes this beautiful poem in which he describes what it's like to walk with Jehovah Ra, God, our shepherd. And this is what he writes in just six beautiful verses. I'm just going to get to my little clicker. Have I got it? Oh, no. The click. I think I did. Yeah, it's on. Clicking down. Nothing's happening. You have to click it for me. Oh, I was so excited about the clicker. Never mind. You can go to the next one. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths as he's promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. That's from the Good News Bible, which I think is a beautiful version of that psalm, actually. And it is a gorgeous song that articulates this Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd, and what he's like. So I want to look at this psalm today and just pick it apart to understand just what it means actually to walk with God. If he's indeed our shepherd, what does that mean for our lives? But to do that, we need to understand a little bit about what a shepherd did in biblical times. And I don't want to take for granted that you guys know much about shepherding in first century Palestine. Some of you maybe. And if you're into that kind of thing, whatever floats your boat. The rest of us, normal people, let me tell you what shepherds did in biblical times. And before I can do that, kind of need to know a little bit about what shepherding does today to understand the difference. So, in order to understand truly how God is our shepherd, we need to understand, first of all, what a shepherd does. Thank you. Excellent slide changing. You're with me now. I love it. I don't know if any of you know much about modern-day shepherding. Anyone ever met a modern-day shepherd that wasn't on Emmerdale? Yeah, have you? Have you, ye? A shepherdess? Excellent. I love it. A bit of diversity as well. Brilliant. The rest of us who haven't met one... The word itself might be lost on us city folk, on us town folk in Gornal. So here's a little lesson in primitive farming techniques. You lucky, lucky people, aren't you? Glad you came to church this morning. Farming methods in Britain nowadays are nothing like they were when the Bible was written. I'm sure you know that. But nowadays, a shepherd looks after hundreds of sheep, hundreds. And they often ride around on these quad bikes. And they're also often on TV, quite attractive with, like, you know, beards and stuff. Not the shepherdesses. Although I don't know. They round the sheep up in these huge pens or these purpose-built mechanical barns. Most of the modern farming methods demand that the sheep never actually leave their pens at all, which is quite cruel, really. They're born, raised, fed, fattened, and ultimately loaded onto the lorry for slaughtering in the same pens. If you can't be a vegetarian, buy organic. But in rural communities, in biblical times, the role of the shepherd was completely different to that, okay? So we have to try and forget the modern methods and get ourselves into the psyche of a first century shepherd to really understand the point that Dave is making here about what God's like. So back then, the average shepherd would care for about 20 to 80 sheep, depending on how rich he was. He walked with the sheep. He spent all day and night with the sheep. Didn't have much of a social life, I'll be honest. He named the sheep, and his sheep knew his voice, which is a statement Jesus makes about himself in the Gospel of John, but more about him later. The shepherd was entrusted to care for the sheep, protect the sheep, lead the sheep, water and feed the sheep. And that's the kind of shepherd that David is comparing God to in this psalm. Now that image, it kind of jars, I think, with the common view of what God's like. Because for many of us, our default perception of God is of this far off, angry bloke in heaven who looks down on us in judgment from on high. That's the reality for most people. If you leave this room and you ask them what God's like, that's probably the image they have. And I spent actually a huge chunk of my life thinking that that's what God was like. Very standoffish, quite distant, uncaring, and cold. But in this psalm, David creates an image of a completely different God for us. He's Jehovah Ra, the Lord, my shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He provides for them, and he protects them. And also, just in case you've missed it, David depicts not only God in this psalm as the shepherd, but therefore us, we the sheep. In case you didn't realise that, that's your role in this psalm. God is the shepherd. You and I are the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass. You can put the next one on. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths as he's promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. If God is the shepherd, then we are the sheep. And let me break the harsh truth to you. That's not the most complimentary of comparisons. I don't know if you realise that. It worked. Yes, I'm back on. I can crack on now, thank you. Sheep are not the most intelligent animals. They don't do well if they're left alone, and neither do we. I once went to a holiday camp in South Wales called Bluestone with the children, and to get to Bluestone, it's right down by Tenby. So you don't need to go on the motorway, you can go on all the A roads. And one of the A roads, if you've done that before, goes right through this kind of mountain, and there are fields on either side. They just walk across the street. There's no hard shoulder or anything. It's just like an open country road, and these stupid sheep just walk out in front of you. And it's a fast road. People are bombing it to get to Tenby. They want to get to Bluestone and start the jollies. And these sheep are just so stupid. They just walk out, they think the grass is greener, and they just dice with death. That's how we're compared in this psalm. You can kind of see, though, to be fair, why David makes that comparison. Because we can just be like that. We wander off. We lose our way. We so easily think that we can make decisions without consulting God, that we dictate our future, that we choose our own path. And popular culture feeds us this lie over and over again in the stuff that we consume and watch. We often think the grass is greener outside of God's plan for us. And we end up harassed and stressed out. And in fact, Jesus observed this himself. A few thousand years after David wrote this psalm, Jesus is in Jerusalem looking at the crowds and describing them as behaving like sheep without a shepherd. That's what he says. Other way. I'm not having a good time with this, am I? There we go. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The very life of the sheep depends on the shepherd, because without a shepherd, the sheep are lost. We're lost. Without Jesus, our lives are stressful and directionless. Two things God never intended us to be. So let's get focused now. We've understood the role of a shepherd, God. We've understood that we are the sheep and what we like without a shepherd. So let's just briefly explore how in Psalm 23, David explains the many ways that Jehovah Ra, God our shepherd, cares for us, his sheep. This is the first one. God our shepherd provides for our needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Just like a real shepherd provides food and water and rest and pasture for the sheep, God our shepherd provides everything we need as well. And as we wander around, stressed out and harassed, trying to sort out our own problems and relying on ourselves, Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd, he's calling us to follow after him, because he provides what we need and what we're looking for. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So what are you lacking today? Rest? Some of you look like you need a rest today. You need a rest from constantly striving to prove yourself to others. You need a rest from carrying the burden of your family's needs. You need a rest from worrying about the future and what may or may not happen. The Lord, our shepherd, he knows the way to still waters. He knows how to make us lie down in green pastures and rest. He knows how to refresh our weary souls and nourish our tired bodies. And on a practical level, because I like to get practical with the preach, otherwise I feel like what do I do with this when I leave? How do I apply this to my life when I leave this place? In my experience, we find rest always when I get into the presence of God. Always. So a bit of a challenge for you now. When was the last time you invested 1 hour in doing nothing but reading your Bible and praying in solitude and quiet? Because it's a busy world, and we all have, trust me, I know that, we have very busy lives. But the Lord our shepherd, he's the source of our refreshment if we'll just invest the time in being with him. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What are you lacking today? Maybe it's refreshment. Some of you need refreshment. The world we live in can become so monotonous. Jehovah Ra wants us to encounter his refreshment today, to encounter his presence in a way that transforms the monotony of the everyday into possibilities of purpose and life. He leads me to pools of fresh water. life is never stale when we follow God, our shepherd. So the Lord, our shepherd, provides everything we need. The Lord, our shepherd, also protects us. David wrote that even when he walks through the darkness, he doesn't fear because God, the good shepherd, is with him. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. And we live in a world where there is so much fear, right? COVID's on the rise again. I know about 7 people who've got COVID at the minute. Thankfully, it's not as like strong as it was, but it's still there. It's still that fear, isn't that niggle? Measles apparently is on the up now. They're offering everyone MMR jabs all of a sudden. I thought that died when I was a kid, but clearly not. Climate change is off the chart. There's wars breaking out all over the place. Crime rates are through the roof. Teenagers are being targeted by cyberbullies. Children are addicted to their screens. I know that one so well. It's nothing new, though. The screen part might be, but people have lived in fear since the dawn of time. So when Jesus saw the harassed and stressed out people in Jerusalem, like these sheep without a shepherd, he stretched this analogy even further to provide them comfort. And he referred to himself as not just the sheep for the shepherd, but also the gate for the sheep pen. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come to me before are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What on earth did he mean? That analogy baffled me for years. At first I thought, Jesus, what a wimpy thing to compare yourself to. I am Jesus, gate. Like a creaky garden thing that needs some WD-40 on it. I didn't get the analogy. And then I did a study a few years ago and I learnt what he meant. And it is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to share with you what I learnt. And you might know this already, but for those of you that don't, I hope it gives you the encouragement it gave me. So this is what he means when he says he was the gate. At night, it was really unsafe to leave sheep out on a hillside at that time, any time. So a caring shepherd would have put the sheep into some kind of pen to keep them safe, right, at night time. And the type of pen would differ depending on the size of the flock and the location of the pen. So in a village, if they're in a village, it would often be like an open roofed enclosure made of wood or stone. And sometimes it was even connected to the back of a house. So in that type of enclosure, the sheep would be brought in and then a physical gate would be locked or closed to make sure the sheep didn't wander out. But if a shepherd was out on the hillside, like the ones in the Nativity story, right, the angels came and the shepherds are watching their flocks on the hills over Bethlehem, then they weren't attached to like a house, so they had to kind of do a makeshift sheep pen overnight. So sometimes if they could find one, they'd use a cave and put the sheep into the cave. Otherwise, they'd make a pen out of stones. So they'd build up the walls and they'd try and put the sheep into it. Now, I want to give you a visual image to help you understand what Jesus is saying here about himself. So I've used my son Daniel's farmyard sheep and farmer to help you. Enjoy. Number one, as night fell, the shepherd would find a cave or craft a makeshift pen for his sheep to spend the night in on the hills. There he is. He's made one. He's managed to find some little plastic fences. He's a very, very resourceful shepherd, this one. He would then lead the sheep into the cave or the pen, and the sheep would follow him because they recognised his voice and they trusted him. Now, a cave as a pen has some obvious issues in terms of the sheep escaping easily because there's a great big massive hole at the entrance. Now, if they built the pen out of boulders, there'd still be a gap where the gate should go. So to stop the sheep from wandering into danger and to stop wild animals wandering into the cave or pen to harm the sheep, the shepherd would literally sleep across the entrance to the cave to ensure that no one went in and nothing came out. He would literally become the gate for the sheep pen. That's what Jesus is saying. So when he says, I am the gate, this is what he meant. This is what Jesus says he is for us. He's Jehovah Ra. He's the good shepherd who becomes the gate for the sheep pen in the darkest of nights. He protects us in the deepest of darkness, in the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I go through deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. I find that so profound. Something happens, you know, to us at night time. I don't know if we can't think rationally when we're tired. I tell my son this all the time. Everything seems worse at night, Tom. If you go to sleep, you'll feel a bit better in the morning. Because our mind and our body, they're tired and they can't switch off. We don't function our best at night. Our thoughts and worries, they take over. Stress often impacts sleep first. I don't know if for you, stress, when you're stressed out, you either eat more or sleep less. That's generally the pattern in our household anyway. And nighttime can be a really tough time when you are stressed. Yet in the dead of night, Jesus likens himself to a gate, to the one who keeps his sheep safe and calm, secure and protected. This is how Paul says it in Philippians. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is what Jesus does. He guards our hearts and our minds. He is the gate. In the darkest of night, when we're scared and alone, he is the gate for our hearts and the gate for our minds. He protects us. And some of us literally need to remember to fix our eyes and our thoughts on Jesus, our gate, when we have worries and concerns that feel overwhelming. Fix our eyes on Jesus, and he floods our minds with peace when we remember that he is our gate, he is our God, he's our doorman. A friend of mine up at Springs has been going through a challenging time with her job of late. She's not happy in it, hasn't been happy for a long time, and has been praying and praying God would find a different role for her where she works. And she's applied for two different kind of sidestepped positions now in the same company and got neither. And last Sunday, she came at the end of the service and said, Lindsay, you have to pray for me. It's just, I'm dreading tomorrow morning. Some of you have had that feeling, by the way, the Monday morning dread. I don't want to go back to this place. That's what she's experiencing at the minute. And we've been praying together. And I said, look, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to trust that God knows what he's, God's our guide, right? He's Jehovah Ra. He guides us. Let's trust that he's got a plan. So we prayed together. And on Monday morning, she rang and said, Lindsay, another job's come up. I was like, that's fantastic news. He's Jehovah Ra, he's guided you, he's provided this. This is brilliant. Let me know how it goes. End of the day, she didn't get it. She didn't get it. So she's absolutely gutted. She said, I feel like God's tossed me a carrot and then taking it away. I was like, well, we know that's not how God works, so we're going to have to just keep praying that if he wants you where you are, there's a reason he wants you there. So continue praying with her all week. There was a few lovely scriptures that we read in some of our morning devotions that I sent to her to encourage her. But no other job came up. She's still in the same role she was in. But on Friday morning, she messaged me and said, Lindsay, I was on the train on the way to work and I was praying and God gave me the most vivid picture of a bowling ball. She says, and in this picture, I'm the bowling ball and I've been lobbed down the bowling alley and I'm going all over the place, but there's bumpers in the gutters. You know, those bumpers you can put up. When I was a kid, they're like blew up inflatable things. Now they're just like electronic bumpers that come out. She says, and I can see the bumpers and my bowling, the life I'm living, the bowling ball's going all over the place, rearing down. She says, but God's put the bumpers up. And she says, I've had this revelation that it doesn't really matter which direction I go in, as long as I know that God's not going to let me go down the gutter. He's my buffer. He's my guard. And because of that, eventually, she will hit the skittles. Until then, she can rest safe in the knowledge that God is with her. He's Jehovah Ra. He guides, he protects, he provides. I thought that was a beautiful image. And the final point, God our shepherd leads and guides us. He guides me in the right paths as he's promised. And both my husband Matt and I have encountered this guidance quite literally and leading of God on many occasions in our lives where he's led us to specific opportunities. The story of our house purchase in itself is a story of God guiding us to the right place. But more recently, we both experienced God leading us into new jobs. And we're currently praying about... which story do I tell you? No, I will tell you the grammar school one. We're both in new jobs. The story of my job, first of all, was a bit of a mad one. I've been working with Love Black Country for nearly a decade on staff, and everyone telling me it was the perfect job for me. I'll do that till the day I die. You're Black Country, Lindsay. That's always what you're going to do. Even John, I've heard John tell me that, my pastor. This is the role for you. And it felt like it at the time, don't get me wrong, but the past 18 months felt a real stirring of this. I'm not sure this is going to be as forever as I thought it was, which was really scary to say it out loud. And there was a long, long journey and lots of praying. But I heard of a job in May that was coming up at the YMCA. And I was a bit unsure whether I should go for it or not, so I wanted to wait till the job ad came out. And when it did, the personal specification of what they wanted in the ideal candidate, I thought they'd gone onto LinkedIn, copied and pasted my CV, genuinely, and put it into this job spec. I actually thought, John's told them I'm interested in this and they've written this for me. Which I know that sounds really, it wasn't an arrogant thing, it was like a, oh my gosh, even the two desirable things. They wanted someone who got an in-depth knowledge of working with churches in the Black Country. It's like, I don't know anyone else that could do this except Tim Fellows, and I know he's not interested in it. So, it felt like it was the right thing, but I had some concerns about the actual job description. I'm not a massive pastoral person. I'm okay in pastoral stuff, and I've done some chaplaincy work, but a big chunk of the role sounded like it was to be like the YMCA pastor, like the chaplain, and that isn't really my strength. So I said in the interview, look, if this is what you're after, I'm probably not the best person for this role. There'll be someone way better suited if that's what you really want. But if you want someone that can bring this, 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 and this, I'm your girl. Also, I want to work term time only because I've got two young children. So I left the interview thinking, I've just taught myself out of that because that's not what they were offering. I was offered 20 days a year holiday and the role of a chaplain. So probably not what they've thought. Then an hour later, I got a phone call saying, Lindsay, we're going to give you the job. You're going to have term time only. And I asked to work 30 hours a week, not full time, which is what they were offering. Said, you can do 30 hours, and because there's someone you left in the budget because you're not taking the full salary, you can employ someone to do the chaplaincy work for you. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, let's do it. So that story, it really did feel like God guiding and crafting and deciding and directing my steps in that. And Matt's had a similar experience with his role. Our son Thomas is currently looking at secondary schools for him, and he did a taste today at Wolverhampton Grammar School in year five and loved it. But we thought, he'd love him to go there, but it's very expensive. I'm not sure we can afford to send him to private school. Also, we were not private school, so there's a whole philosophical, do we agree or not? But kind of couldn't get this feeling that it might be the right place for him. So I had to pray a genuine, I've never really prayed this prayer before. God, if you want him to go there, you're going to have to give us a shed load of cash because we can't afford it and it's a lot of money. Left the prayer thinking, well, he'll go to Wanburn High, it's where we live, he'll be fine. And then about 3 months ago, Matt got headhunted for a job at his old employer. And he went through the interview, got the job. And when they rang to tell him, he said, just so you know, this is the salary we're going to offer you. And the salary they offered him, the increase, the difference in what he was on and what he's on now, is the exact amount of the grammar school fees to the penny. So now we're thinking, okay, God, are you guiding him there? So he sat the entrance test on Friday, did Thomas, and we'll find out whether he goes there. Watch this space for that one. But God guiding us, that's what he does. He guides us in the right paths as he's promised. And what I've learned from all of these processes is that despite often my head telling me, oh, this is just coincidence or just do what you want to do, the reality is God guides me and that brings us such peace. God is my shepherd. He leads me in the right way to go. And that's an incredible, incredible comfort. So let's bring it into land. It is absolutely the Father's heart for every one of us, his sheep, to know what it is to live life from a position of security like David did. The security of knowing that he is who he says he is. And the joy that comes from knowing that there's a place for us in the sheep pen of God. There is family. There is provision. There is direction, there is protection, there is life overflowing, green pastures, still waters, and comfort. And all of that can only be accessed by one entrance, and that's Jesus, the gate. Jesus is the embodiment of Jehovah Ra. He literally called himself, the Good Shepherd. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who's not the shepherd and does not know the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus, he's here, he's real, and he seeks you out. He loves you. He leaves the 99 other sheep to come look for you. And then he calls you into safety, to provision, to family, to future. He not only opens the gate, he is the gate. He not only shows us the way, he is the way. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us all to know and encounter his guidance, his provision, his rest, and his plans for your future. So if you want to encounter Jesus, the good shepherd, again today, it might have been years since you really asked God what he wants you to do with your life. And you're never too old, you know. You're not. There's still breath in your lungs. There's a purpose for you being here. Maybe you're harassed and stressed out like a sheep without a shepherd today. Maybe you don't know what God wants you to do. All you need to do is pray and reach out to him today, and he will meet you just where you are, just as you are. And so I want to pray for you now. And if that's something that you want for yourself, and I just encourage you to pray with me quietly in your heart as I pray this prayer, and as we ask God to lead us and guide us. Jesus, we want to say thank you that you are our good shepherd. Thank you that you are the embodiment of Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd, the one that guides us and leads us, the one that provides for us and protects us. Jesus, we thank you for all the wonderful, wonderful things that you bring. And Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. For those that are tired, I pray, Lord God, they would encounter Jehovah Ra, the one that brings them rest and helps them to lie down. For those that are bored and fed up, Lord, I pray they would encounter Jehovah Ra, the one that brings refreshment and leads us beside pools of quiet water. Lord Jesus, for those of us that need to know where you want us to be and what you want us to do, God, I pray that we would encounter you as Jehovah Ra, the shepherd that guides us, that shows us where to walk, that leads us on the right paths. And for those of us, Lord, that are scared and worried and weighed down, Lord, with the anxieties of the things that we have to do and the circumstances we're in, Lord God, I pray that we would know you as the Lord that protects, the Lord that is our gate, that keeps us safe, and that never, ever leaves us. Holy Spirit, I pray we'd all encounter again afresh the reality of what it is to walk with God, our shepherd. And we thank you for your grace in all of this, Jesus, that you would lead people like us. What an incredible honor, and we worship you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.